to me. I don't know why he cared. I don't know why.
Ladies and gentlemen, nobody can preach like Billy Graham, and nobody should try. But by the grace of God, we can thank God for his servant, for he is a rare gem of a person. And we can honor God and honor Jesus Christ and thank God in the Lord Jesus Christ for him, for he could not have done anything like he did without the miracle working power of God. If you look at the life of Dr. Billy Graham, you will realize that only God could have done that. And what a testimony at the right time in history. And so by the grace of God, I want to preach a short adaptation of one of his messages. These are mostly his words, but as you know, I'll get carried away and add some things, not to the Word of God, but to what he said, to make it more applicable to the audience that I have before me. He preached one time, many years ago, a message titled "The World's Darkest Hour." Now, Dr. Billy Graham was a great evangelist, but he did not use a whole lot of sensationalism as most evangelists do. For many evangelists, it is all about the title, but Dr. Billy Graham, he never really used that gimmick as a gimmick in most cases. I'm sure nobody sees it as a gimmick, but some people can classify it as that. But he never really did that, and he didn't do it this time. However, this title kind of goes in that direction. Pure evangelist would come up with a title like that, "The World's Darkest Hour." A dear pastor would title it something else, "A Night in Gethsemane," or something along those lines. But an evangelist has a different take on things. And so this is part one, "The World's Darkest Hour," part one, the Just Jesus Evangelistic Campaign, day 396, since January the 20th, 2017, day 763, since January the 1st, 2016, and I have nothing to do with those numbers other than to get up and preach. The technician who does the behind-the-scenes things is involved with that. But if you do not mind, let's stand, even at this late hour, out of respect for the Word of God. Turn your Bibles to Matthew 26, verses 36 through 39. The Bible reads, "Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, Sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy." You've been there, but not like Jesus. Then saith he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here, and watch with me. And he went a little farther, and fell on his face, and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And I'm sure that you can hear in this reading that this was real. This was real. Let's pray. Holy Father God, we cannot do anything without you, for you remind us in your holy word, it is not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. So Lord, take your ancient but powerful holy word and apply it to our lives today, right where we are. As your servant, Dr. Billy Graham, did for so many years. And again, I thank you for giving me the privilege and the honor to attend the homegoing of the greatest evangelist, in my humble opinion, since the Apostle Paul. What a work you did in his life. And it is a shame that there's not more like him. Forgive us, Lord, of our sins, our failures, and our faults. And help us to repent of our sins as Christians and as preachers. And help us to live the kind of life you want us to live for your glory, praise, and honor. Help us to do what Billy Graham did and model our life after your life. And even though he admitted he was not perfect, we're not perfect. But Lord, we do want to be people when to finish well and to finish our course well. For Jesus Christ's sake, we do pray that, Lord, you will save those who are lost, revive those who are saved. As we remember you tonight, lift up your holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and remember your servant, Dr. Billy Graham. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. Ladies and gentlemen, regarding this passage, Dr. Warren Wiersbe wrote, we must not think that it was the fear of death that made our Lord to agonize in the garden. He did not fear death, but faced it with courage and peace. He was about to drink the cup that his Father had prepared for him, and this meant bearing on his body the sins of the world, your sins and mine. Many godly people have been arrested, beaten, and slain because of their faith in Christ. But only Jesus experienced being made sin, a curse for mankind. The Father has never forsaken any of his own, yet he forsook his only begotten Son. This was the cup that Jesus willingly drank for us. Jesus was not wrestling with God's will or resisting God's will. He was yielding himself to God's will. But this was, as you read tonight, no doubt one of the most moving scenes in the history of the world. This was real. And some of you who have gone through dark nights, you recognize some of the pain in the realness in this passage. As perfect man, he felt the awful burden of sin, and his holy soul was repelled by it. We're talking about Emmanuel, God in the flesh, God with us. I don't understand it all, but I believe it all. Yet as the Son of God, he knew that this was his mission in the world. The mystery of his humanity and deity is seen vividly in this powerful, moving, and amazing, true scene. Amen, somebody. Dr. Billy Graham said, I want you to really see this picture because the last 24 hours in the life of Jesus Christ was the darkest period in the history of the entire world. Here we find an incident in the last hours of the life of Christ, which I want us to think about and see what practical application it has to our own lives and the world in which we live. Many people say, I don't understand the gospel. I don't understand what you mean by receiving Christ or believing on Christ or being born again. But I think even more people say they do not understand why Christ had to die on the cross in order for us to be saved. Have you ever had those questions? They do not understand the dark hours of Gethsemane. They do not understand why Christ voluntarily laid down his life for all of the sinners in the world. They do not understand why he endured the shame of the cross. They do not understand all of the phrases in the Bible that talk about the blood. Many times in Scripture you find the phrase, the blood of Christ. Hebrews 9:14 says, how much more shall the blood of Christ purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? 1 John 1:7 says, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. Amen, somebody. Dr. Billy Graham said, people revolt against that. They still do, Dr. Graham. They do not like that, and they wonder why that is in the Bible. You must understand that Dr. Graham ran with presidents and queens and kings and politicians and leaders and rich people, business folk. But unlike so many preachers today, Dr. Billy Graham did not compromise the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. He made that perfectly clear. I'll try to work with you. Maybe we can do some things together, but I want you to understand, I believe the old-time gospel. Amen, somebody. And that's why we thank God for him today. And then he went on to say, they wonder why so much stress is placed upon the crucifixion and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. They wonder why. They question that. It disturbs them. It rattles them. And in this part one of his longer message, which I will continue as time goes on, I'm reminded of a hymn by Robert Lowry that we sung quite often when I first got saved back in December of 1979. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing can my sin erase. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Not of works, 'tis all of grace. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my hope and peace. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my righteousness. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. O precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Amen, somebody. Have you been washed in the blood of Christ? I know it sounds kind of icky to you. I know that is kind of strange to you. I know you have questions. But as I always say, I may not understand it all, but I believe it all. And may I encourage you to believe it all today. Just have faith in God. It's what Jesus said. And so, dear friend, if you are with us tonight and you do not yet know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, the Lamb of God who died on the cross for your sins, so that you can have a free pardon of your sins, allow me to show you how you can trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, so that you can be saved from the consequences of your sins, hell. First, accept the fact, dear friend, that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's laws. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Secondly, accept the fact that there is a penalty for sin. The Bible states in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." Third, accept the fact that you are on the road to hell right now. If you have never believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, if you have never received Jesus Christ as your Savior, it is sad to report to you that you are on your way to hell, to a devil's hell, for God never created hell for human beings. He created hell for the devil and his angels. And if you live like the devil and act like the devil, you will go to hell to burn forever with the devil and his angels. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. But rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Jesus Christ was a hellfire and brimstone preacher, unlike many preachers today. But Jesus does not want you to go to hell. He wants you to go to heaven. That's another thing that we don't understand, but just believe it. God loves you. I don't know why God loves us, but he does. I'm amazed at it every day, more and more, at his love. It is truly amazing, as is his grace. And so Jesus does not want you to go to hell. He wants you to trust him so that you can go to heaven. I believe with all of my heart, God wants to fellowship with you. Jesus wants to fellowship with you. This is a love that is unspeakable. It's beyond measure. So hell is bad news, but I have some good news for you. Jesus Christ gave it best when he said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish," that is, perish in hell, "but have everlasting life." Guess where? In heaven. That's where God wants you. He wants you there so badly he turned his back on his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, because he allowed your sin and my sin to be laid on him, Jesus, who knew no sin. the innocent Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world. What love, what kind of love is this? So, dear friend, just believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, wherever you are in the world, that He died for your sins. He shed His blood for your sins. He had pure blood, holy blood, God's blood was shed for your sins and mine. Was buried because He was truly dead. He went through the pain and the darkness of death for you and me. And He rose from the dead on the third day by the power of God for you and for me, so that we can live eternally with Him. So pray and ask Him to come into your heart tonight and to save your soul, and He will. Romans 10:9-13 says that if you shall confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Believe in your heart on the Lord Jesus Christ. Receive Him into your heart. Pray and ask Him to save you. I'll be glad to lead you in what is commonly called the sinner's prayer. Lord, have mercy upon me, a sinner, and save my soul. Please follow me in prayer right now. If you want to be saved and mean it from your heart, repeat after me phrase by phrase. This is what we do as Christians. We lead others to Christ. You don't know what to do. You don't know how to pray. And so we help you as somebody helped us. Let's pray. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner and that I have done wrong in my life in your sight. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive us of our sins as we now believe, or as I now believe with all of my heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that He died for my sins, was buried, and rose again. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul. I receive you today. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins past and to turn from my evil ways and to follow you in the new life. In Jesus Christ's name I pray and for His sake, amen. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if you believed in your heart on the Lord Jesus Christ, that He died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose again, allow me to say to you, congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, receiving Him and the gospel for salvation. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Dear friend, if you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, please email me at dw3@gospellightsociety.com or one of our other emails on one of our other platforms that you might be watching on or listening on, and let us know. We have some free material that we want to send you. If you have a prayer request, please email that to us as well, and we will pray for you until you tell us to stop. And dear friend, God loves you, we love you, and may God bless you. Real good is our prayer.
I don't know why Jesus loved me.